The Speaker of the Nova Scotia House of Assembly grants permission to record the televised proceedings of the legislature for use in schools and for other purposes, such as private study, research, review, or newspaper summary. Television and radio broadcasters may make use of recorded excerpts of the televised proceedings in their news or public affairs programs for the purpose of fair and accurate reports of proceedings. Program material may not be used for political party advertising, election campaigns, or any other politically partisan activity. Program material may not be edited for use in promotional material by any political party or other organization, and may not be used in any edited form that could mislead or misinform an audience or viewer, or which does not present a balanced portrayal of the proceedings in the House. Video program material may only be used with its original audio components, and no other audio material may be added to video material used. Any other commercial use or rebroadcast of these proceedings requires the express written approval of the Speaker.
Performance in the Chronicle Herald by Brett Williams, who happens to be a grade 11 student at Cole Harbour High. In his glowing review of the work of his peers, Brett also shines a light on the staff that helped to ensure yet another remarkable production. The staff includes Tina Glant, that plays director and music teacher at the school, who has dedicated 10 years of successful productions for the school. She was assisted by choreographer Ashley Roswell, stage director Celine Cushion, band director Paula Daniluk McDonald, staff Nancy Stanbrook and Meredith Thompson, who helped create costumes for the musical. I know I speak for all members of the House, Mr. Speaker, when I say school, staff, and students, regardless of where they're from, enrich the community, the greater community, with
order,
their
order, please. Time allotted for the member statement has long since expired. We'll now move on to oral questions put by members to ministers. The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is to the Premier. Mr. Speaker, the Ivany Report includes several important economic goals, including increasing our exports by 50% and increasing the number of business startups by 4,200 a year. Yesterday, Mr. Speaker, we learned that Cindy Dorsey of British North American Pictures, a Halifax company, just lost a $3.5 million film contract as a result of the mistake this government made with the film industry. I will table the email that we received from her, Mr. Speaker, which is entitled, "My company just lost a $3.5 million project because of the new film tax credit." And Mr. Speaker, we're all willing to admit that this was probably a mistake, but can the Premier explain to Sydney how losing this new investment and putting her job at risk is helping us achieve these important Ivany economic goals?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I want to again remind him in the budget there's $24 million, the same amount that was allotted last year for the film tax credit, Mr. Speaker. We've laid a proposal in the Financial Measures Act. The industry says that does not work for them. We've gone back to the industry and said, here's the fiscal envelope that we have. You tell us how you want it to be delivered. Good news, Mr. Speaker. I want to tell the Honourable Member and all members of this House, Nova Scotia led the country in exports last year, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his first supplementary.
Well, Mr. Speaker, we can only imagine how Cindy will feel hearing that answer as her company loses out on a great opportunity as well as the jobs that go with it. Mr. Speaker, immigration is also an important topic of the Ivany Report, as you know. It includes the goal of increasing immigration by 7,000 new Nova Scotians a year. Well, today we heard from Konstantinos Manos of Greece, who immigrated to Nova Scotia just this past August. In fact, Mr. Speaker, he was attracted here by Nova Scotia Business Inc. because of our growing film and creative industries, and he started a company here. That was just 9 months ago, Mr. Speaker. So I'll ask the Premier, did he consider the impact on immigration and the Ivany immigration goals when he made the decision to cut the film industry?
The Honourable Premier.
Yeah. Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I'm sure he knows, as all Nova Scotians know, we've had tremendous growth in immigration. We had a cap on the nominee program that was at 700. We convinced the federal government to lift that. We would have liked it to have gone much higher, but they, Mr. Speaker, lifted to 1050, which we actually met that cap. We're continuing to grow. We need the support of the national government to lift the caps on immigration. We've seen real opportunities. I want again want to remind the honorable member the same amount of money that was allotted for the film industry last year is in the budget this year. Mr. Speaker, it's there for people to apply for. What we're talking about is a go-forward basis. We laid an envelope of money on the table, Mr. Speaker. We showed a way that we want to distribute it on behalf of taxpayers to the industry. They said they didn't like it. We asked them to bring us back something that worked for them.
The honourable leader of the official opposition on his final supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What the Premier doesn't seem to understand is that for people like Cindy, for immigrants like Constantinos, they need jobs. They need something to do when they're here, to make a living, to earn a livelihood. Mr. Speaker, in Cindy's email, which I tabled a minute ago, she goes on to say, I really don't think the Nova Scotia government understands the impact of their changes. Well, that's putting it mildly, Mr. Speaker. Constantine was attracted here because of the film industry. Cindy was growing a new startup business here. All of that is now at risk. The evidence is mounting. This was all one big mistake. Will the Premier agree to delay the changes from July 1st to a future date so that something reasonable can be worked out so this mistake can be fixed?
The Honourable Premier.
Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I want to tell all members of this House, Mr. Speaker, the province of Nova Scotia had the most generous grant program when it comes to the film industry in the entire country, Mr. Speaker. It's the entire grant program, Mr. Speaker, across the country. What we have said, Mr. Speaker, from the very beginning, we have X number of dollars that we have to put on the table. We put it on the table on behalf of taxpayers. The industry said it doesn't work for them, Mr. Speaker. We have said, Mr. Speaker, if it doesn't work and you have a better model to deliver that money to the industry, we're more than prepared to look at it.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Well, Mr. Speaker, yesterday was an awesome display of support from the creative people who work in our province. They spoke loud and clear to the Premier and his finance minister about what this industry means to Nova Scotia. Mr. Speaker, in its submission to the province's tax review, the Motion Picture Industry Association indicated that in 2014, there were 1,200 Nova Scotians working full-time in the industry at an average salary of $52,500, Mr. Speaker. In addition, there are another 1,500 spin-off
jobs. Does the member have a question?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I do. Mr. Speaker, I want to ask the minister, the Premier to explain why an industry that pumps $135 million into the local economy and these good-paying Nova Scotian jobs isn't worth protecting, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, we believe it's worth protecting, Mr. Speaker. It's why we've put a program on the table, Mr. Speaker, that is fair to taxpayers, and we believe it's fair to the industry. The number that the leader of the Democratic Party is using, Mr. Speaker, is talking about all productions that take place in this province. And we know, and she knows, that not all of those, Mr. Speaker, take advantage of the tax credit because it's not available to them, Mr. Speaker. And furthermore, I want to say to the honourable member, we're looking forward to those good-paying jobs staying in the province of Nova Scotia. But the taxpayer of Nova Scotia, Mr. Speaker, cannot afford to pay 50 to 65 cents on the dollar, Mr. Speaker.
Now I'm the leader of the New Democratic Party on her first supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, on April 3rd, the McNeill government announced a payroll rebate of $22 million to the Royal Bank of Canada to create 150 jobs. In comparison to a $24 million investment for more than 3,000 jobs in the creative sector, Mr. Speaker, you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to figure out who's getting the lion's share here. Mr. Speaker, how can the Premier justify giving millions to a bank while taking away millions from a growing industry that creates thousands of jobs?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I want to tell all Nova Scotians, Mr. Speaker, the payroll rebate she's referring to, that the Royal Bank, Mr. Speaker, has been used by successive governments, all political stripes. It's about 8 or 9 cents, Mr. Speaker. The program that we've put on the table, Mr. Speaker, the idea that we believe is fair to taxpayers when it comes to film tax credit is about 16 cents, Mr. Speaker. The industry says it doesn't work for them. We've said, Mr. Speaker, bring us back a proposal that works for them. Fact of the matter is, Mr. Speaker, the proposal that's on the table now is the richest in the country. We've had the worst before in the economy. And, Mr. Speaker, we cannot afford to continue to do the things the same way.
Don, the leader of the New Democratic Party, on her final supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the Premier is standing up and saying what he says without Putting down one shred of information doesn't make it accurate, Mr. Speaker. Why won't he show us to back up what he's saying, Mr. Speaker? The film industry, Mr. Speaker, the film industry has been given 3 months to change their business model. It's hardly enough time for them to adjust to the changes that this government is expecting. So I want to ask the minister, if he's too stubborn to change his mind on the tax credit, then what's his plan to help the industry and those who work in it transition so we don't lose them out of this province, Mr. Speaker?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I don't know what the Honourable Member wants me to table. There isn't a single person, not even the industry, disputes, Mr. Speaker, that it's 50 to 65 cents, Mr. Speaker. No one is disputing that fact. They may be arguing, Mr. Speaker, about whether it's fair or not. The fact of the matter is, Mr. Speaker, we have the worst performing economy in Canada. What we have laid on the table, Mr. Speaker, is a very...
Order, please. The Honourable Premier has the floor.
You want me to start over again, Mr. Speaker? We have laid on the table on behalf of taxpayers a fiscal envelope that we believe is fair. The industry says our proposal doesn't work for them. We've said to them, Mr. Speaker, give us one that works for you. We're pleased that the industry is sitting down with government, Mr. Speaker, and hopefully we'll be able to move forward and find, Mr. Speaker, a positive conclusion for both the taxpayers and the industry.
The Honourable Pictou, Member for Pictou West.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question through you is to the Minister of Communities, Culture and Heritage. Film and Creative Industries was the lead agency for Nova Scotia's creative businesses. The small group of professionals at Film and Creative Industries provide support and expertise for creative entrepreneurs to become more productive and globally competitive. The loss of this organization is a blow to many creative business people who are already reeling from the gutting of the film tax credit. What research did the minister do to understand the impact the loss of Film and Creative Industries would have on the thousands of musicians, filmmakers, crafters, performing arts, and book publishers who rely on his department to support the creativity of Nova Scotia?
The Honourable Minister of Communities, Culture and Heritage.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We value the contributions of those working in the creative industries. As a matter of fact, our government has provided a lot of support for the creative industries. As a matter of fact, this year, we are putting $70 million into the industries. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Pictou West.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I certainly didn't ask that question. I asked what research was done. However, all members in this chamber have now heard how important the film tax credit was to Nova Scotians involved in film and tax television. The government has rendered the credit useless to them. The other support that government provided to the sector has now been eliminated. The very office where studios came calling to bring productions and jobs has been closed. Who will now answer the call when film studios look to bring their investments and jobs to Nova Scotia?
The Honourable Minister of Communities, Culture and Heritage.
Well, as was mentioned earlier, we can tell you that the current situation is not sustainable for the province. We are meeting with the industry, and we will hope to have common ground. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Sackville-Cobequid.
Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Premier. On March 26th, the Premier read a resolution to recognize Purple Day. He said epilepsy is one of the most common neurological conditions, and it's estimated to affect more than 10,000 Nova Scotians. He mentioned Cassidy Megan, who started Purple Day for Epilepsy in 2001 to help people recognize types of seizures and response with appropriate first aid. But, Mr. Speaker, on April 9th, his government advised the Epilepsy Association of Nova Scotia that their funding have been eliminated, 100% cut, Mr. Speaker. So I'd like to ask the Premier, what changed between Purple Day for Epilepsy on March 26th and the letter sent on April 9th?
The Honourable Premier.
I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I want to inform him and all members of this House, Mr. Speaker, that that contract and the arrangements with Epilepsy Nova Scotia, Mr. Speaker, will be honoured, and they will receive their funding.
The Honourable Member for Sackville-Cobequid.
Unbelievable, Mr. Speaker. First, they're told they're going to get the funding in December. Then they're sent a letter that stated the service and activities provided by the Epilepsy Association no longer fully support or align with the priorities and direction of public health. So I'd like to ask the Minister of Health, why would they get this mixed signal from the government? First, you're going to give them money for 2 years, and then you're going to take it away. Today, they're going to give it back. Can you explain that, Minister?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and it is very easy to explain in that as we were reviewing grants, that was one of the organizations that inadvertently got on a list and got sent a letter. The Epilepsy Society and their work in our province we highly regard, and our commitment to them is at 100% of what we said we would provide.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister of Finance. In the months leading up to the budget and the days since, Nova Scotians heard a lot of tough talk from the government, tough talk about belt tightening. Mr. Speaker, the executives at the Nova Scotia Liquor Commission may not have received that belt tightening memo. Through an access to information request, we learned that Nova Scotia Liquor Commission intends to hold a $140,000 managers training conference for 220 people. So my question for the minister is, how can the minister justify that kind of extravagant use of taxpayer dollars at a time when the film tax credit is being slashed, programs are being cut, and real Nova Scotians are receiving pink slips?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And certainly that's information that I don't have at the moment. I can certainly look into it. It's an interesting thing to know in the spirit of the current budget. Absolutely. Thank you. Perhaps you have a second question.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, we learned that in 2013, the Nova Scotia Liquor Commission spent more than $140,000 on their managers' training conference at that time. They shelled out more than $664 for each of the 212 attendees to dine on beef or scallops the first night and chicken or salmon the second night. To round out the fun, a popular band played at a cost of $6,000. So, Mr. Speaker, my point is, will the minister, at a time when many Nova Scotians are feeling pain at the hands of this government, will the minister put an end to this type of extravagant spending?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I appreciate the question. I do know that we've looked into the size of the NSLC and to the administration and the head office, but I'll certainly look into this in particular. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Sydney River Myra Lewisburg.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question through you is to the Minister of TIR. Mr. Speaker, increased rates for the Little Narrows Ferry are putting an extra burden on people who work in Bedeque and others who have to use the ferry for going to their employment in other areas. It is a real hardship on seniors on a fixed income who use the ferry for their groceries, medical appointments, and attend church and to pick up their prescriptions in either Bedeque or Waycogama. My question to the minister is very simple. Will the minister provide any rate relief for those in this area who use the Little Narrows Ferry for necessities like groceries and medicine?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The reality is, and it's certainly a tough one for any government to make of any political stripe, Mr. Speaker, but at the end of the day, we have very published costs of what the ferry services require from the taxpayers of Nova Scotia, all taxpayers, including those who use the service, Mr. Speaker. We had to close that gap between what the costs are overall and the revenue collected, Mr. Speaker. Well, I've certainly heard from people from the Narrows and from all regions of the province about this increase, and the best that we could do is look at the annual passes, which we would hope folks would migrate to since they use it on a regular basis, to see what we could do in terms of a payment plan. We're still putting that plan together with input from all stakeholders in each respective area. Thank you very
much. The Honourable Member for Sydney River Myra Lewisburg.
Well, thank you very much, and I want to thank the Minister for his answer. Individuals are not the only casualties of the ferry rate hike. When tourists see that it costs a return trip to see the Highland Village Museum is $14, they may think twice. Construction companies on the Little Narrows side that bid on jobs and on the other side of the Narrows will be forced to pass along these increases to consumers or have it affect their bottom line. So my question to the minister is, did the minister factor in the harm ferry increases would do to tourism and small business in the area when the rates were jacked up on the Little Narrows Ferry.
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Look, we factored in everything that we could. It was certainly a painstaking process to look at what the costs were, what the revenue collected were currently, and what adjustments we could make to close that gap and be mindful of the fiscal realities of the province and of our department. With respect to tourism, Mr. Speaker, certainly we'll monitor what happens in the summer months and in all of the season for the operations of the ferries. But at the end of the day, these are expensive services, Mr. Speaker. When you're north of $9 million per year, the reality is that, you know, it's not unreasonable to ask tourists who are visiting this province to put in a little extra to make sure that we do our best to cover those costs, Mr. Speaker. So we'll look at all information. We'll continue to engage the people in the area. It's a tough choice, but it's one we had to make to look after the taxpayers of Nova Scotia.
The Honourable Member for Hants West.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question through you today will be to the Minister of Health. It's been great discussion over the years in this House, all the years that I've been here, Mr. Speaker, on long-term care, the wait list, and so on. I wonder if the Minister could tell us today. I know, unfortunately, there are times when family members and folks have to transfer to long-term care facilities outside their home area or the requested area. Is there a formalized process to move back, we'll say, to be requested back to a transfer of one of those facilities, which was currently or prior to that being moved, that were on the wait list?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank the member for Hants West for the question. When a person enters our long-term care facilities, they will have their first choice of a facility. Many occasions that's not possible. So what happens then is they work to get them to their preferred facility. Some people will, in fact, like the residents where they are and will, in fact, want to remain there. But the goal is always to work to help them return or get to their first choice in terms of long-term care.
The Honourable Member for Hants West.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the Minister for his response. I know that the Department and the Minister has been challenged with trying to really determine what the true number on the wait list is. I know that there have been people who have refused, as they're not quite ready when the call comes. In this situation that I've just described, with people waiting to get back to their preferred after being moved within the policy of the 100-kilometre circle, does the Minister know how many are actually in that situation and await the transfer back to their, what I'll call their home or their preferred facility?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and especially as we work to provide a nursing home for those of high need and high risk, we will have people who will not get to their first preference, and currently that's running at about 50%, or about 1,200 who do not get in their first choice when it's time to go to a nursing home.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, yesterday thousands of people showed up at Province House in support of Nova Scotia's film industry. And while the Premier didn't seize the opportunity to talk to any of the many peaceful Nova Scotians in the streets, he did have time last night to sit down and talk with CBC's Tom Murphy to defend his slashing of the film tax credit. Mr. Speaker, the Premier used a clever piece of misinformation to justify his poor decision-making. He told Mr. Murphy, and I quote, that Nova Scotia has the highest grant program available to the industry, and we are getting a smaller slice of what's happening inside Canada. Mr. Speaker, however, he failed to mention that between 2009 and
time
now,
allotted for the member's question has expired. We'll now move into the supplementary time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Premier failed to mention that since 2009, the value of Nova Scotia's film industry has increased by $42 million, or 43%. Mr. Speaker, those aren't my numbers. I want to ask the Premier, why is he minimizing the value of Nova Scotia's film industry to Nova Scotians through the media, Mr. Speaker?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member, and I would encourage her to go watch that interview again, Mr. Speaker, because what I have said, Mr. Speaker, is we have the highest grant program in the country, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, We now have a smaller percentage of the national, Mr. Speaker, the film industry across Canada. What I said to Tom Murphy, the dollar amount may have grown, but our percentage of the national activity has shrunk. Mr. Speaker, that's what I said. You can check that. The reality is, Mr. Speaker, the taxpayers of Nova Scotia cannot afford the program that we have in place. We've laid out a fiscal envelope, provided to the industry, told them how we want it delivered. They said it didn't work for them. We said to them, bring us back something that works for you in that fiscal envelope.
The Honourable Member for Northside Westmount.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister of Labour and Advanced Education. The Liberal government's budget uncaps university tuition rates for a one-time adjustment. Students and families across the province are concerned because this provides uncertainty about how much tuition will be next year. While a 3% cap on tuition increases provided certainty, this market adjustment model does just the opposite. Universities, if they so desire, could raise tuition by up to 20%. Will the minister clarify for students and their families if she will step in should universities decide to raise tuition by an extraordinary amount?
The Honourable Minister of Labour.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'd like to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I understand that any time tuition increases are contemplated, it's difficult for students. The word we have back from the universities, or the early word, is that they are unlikely to actually increase it in this particular school year. They've already gone through their process and they made assumptions about how much they could increase them. I do want to let the students know that we will be keeping an eye on those particular increases and we will be making sure that there are no outliers. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Northside Westmount.
Thank you, Minister, for that answer. Students and their families expect leadership from the government in reining in tuition fees. Hearing the minister suggest the sky is the limit on tuition does not ease their concerns, and the fact that we're not clear if she will step in if the tuition does raise, I want to ask the question: will the minister provide a number on how much she expects tuition rates to rise with the one-time market adjustment? And if this budget, if they do that, when will she step in at what percentage rate?
The Honourable Minister of Labour and Advanced Education.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question, and I want to assure students that the universities are very clear that they are not going to make outrageous increases or anything like that, because, quite frankly, Mr. Speaker, students are savvy shoppers, Mr. Speaker, and if universities were to raise them too high, they would simply vote with their feet. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Pictou Centre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister of Natural Resources. On Thursday, members of the mining industry learned that this government reneged on a promise to extend the fuel tax rebate to the mining industry. In a November 10, 2014 press release, the Minister of Natural Resources said, and I quote, that the government will start pushing in a fuel tax rebate program for mining and quarry vehicles and introduce a revised Mineral Resource Act in 2015. My question, Mr. Speaker, why did the minister renege on a promise he made only 5 months ago?
The Honourable Minister of Natural Resources.
Mr. Speaker, let's be clear. There has not been any renegment on this commitment. We've been very clear all along. Our government is committed to restoring the fiscal health of this province, Mr. Speaker. That is so critical to provide our core services in education and health and provide the investments we need to grow our economy, Mr. Speaker. The indication that we've given to the Mining Association was that this credit would be looked at and distributed in the course of our mandate, Mr. Speaker. Our mandate is not yet over.
The Honourable Member for Pictou Centre.
Mr. Speaker, this spring the Fraser Institute released its annual survey of mining and exploration companies. Nova Scotia was ranked as the worst province in Canada for investment attractiveness. My question to the Minister: how does the minister expect to fulfill the recommendations of the Ivy Report and create good rural jobs when he refuses to fulfill his promise to make the industry a little more competitive?
The Honourable Minister of Natural Resources.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. For the first time in 25 years, our government has actually taken a look at the legislative framework that regulates our mining sector, Mr. Speaker. We're going to be bringing in a state-of-the-art, competitive legislative framework this fall that the industry is going to be very excited about, Mr. Speaker. For the first time In a generation, we are looking at returning coal to Cape Breton Island, Mr. Speaker. We have mining companies from across the world looking at tin in Yarmouth, gold deposits across this province, copper deposits. This is actually a very exciting time for the natural resources sector, Mr. Speaker, and we look forward to continuing to partner with the private sector to grow our rural economy.
Just before we move on to the next question, I want to remind the Honourable Member for Pictou Centre and the Honourable Minister of Natural Resources, the term reneg is an unparliamentary term. The Honourable Member for Chester St. Margaret's.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question's to the Premier. The film tax credit has been a successful tool at leveraging investment from outside of the province and even outside of the country. In 2013, approximately $25 million dispersed in dollars in provincial film and television tax credits. It generated $124 million in production. That translates into $99 million in triggered capital, a 396% return on investment, much of which goes directly into rural Nova Scotia, and I'll table that. Why hasn't the Premier considered the damage that will be done to rural parts of the province by slashing this tax credit, and can he answer by stop diverting the public's attention away without having the real facts?
The Honourable Premier.
Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I want to remind her again that we as a province have the highest grant program when it comes to the film industry in Canada, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, we value the creative economy. If you look at this budget that was put in place, Mr. Speaker, we have a creative fund that is set aside. Mr. Speaker, for the first time, recording artists are being recognized by the government in a financial way. We're looking at publishers. The broader amount of that program is there, Mr. Speaker, for the film industry. We have an additional $6 million that is set aside specifically for the film industry. We have another $6 million, Mr. Speaker, which is targeted towards digital media, Mr. Speaker. There's a lot of money on the table, Mr. Speaker, for the creative economy. This is not a government, Mr. Speaker, that does not value the creative economy. As a matter of fact, Mr. Speaker, we've demonstrated it by putting in our budget.
The Honourable Member for Chester St. Margaret's on her final supplementary.
I'll remind the Premier, it is not a grant, and it is called competitive edge, and it's called investment, which he does not understand. The screen industry has so many spin-offs, small towns and in rural Nova Scotia, which he's closing the door on. And in fact, when the Motion Picture Industry Association made their submission to the tax review, it's illustrated exactly how they stimulate the local rural economies. And I'll table it, and it says, our films, TV shows, and digital media products collectively serve as a marketing campaign for the province, helping to draw thousands of visitors every year. So my question to the Premier is, what is his plan to boost visitors to rural Nova Scotia when the film industry is not here and not promoting this beautiful province as he slams the door?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for her question. Mr. Speaker, I want to thank Screen Nova Scotia, who has come and is working with this government, Mr. Speaker. They recognize the fiscal challenges facing our province. They've also recognized the amount of money that is sitting on the table here, Mr. Speaker. What they've told us is that the delivery model to the industry didn't work for them. What we've said to them, provide us with a way to deliver that funds to the industry that works for the industry. We'll be more than happy to look at it. I am pleased, Mr. Speaker, that they've come to the table, sitting down, talking with government to lay out a plan. Not only, Mr. Speaker, can we ensure that the film industry will be here into the future, Mr. Speaker, we can also ensure that it will be sustainable.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Minister of Energy. Last week, the Nova Scotia Appeals Court ruled that Nova Scotia Power was wrongly permitted to include $93 million of capital costs for the South Canoe Wind Project in the utility's base rate. The court said Nova Scotia Power should not have been allowed to put the cost of this investment onto taxpayers. So my question for the Minister is, how will the Minister ensure that this does not happen again?
The Honourable Minister of Energy.
Thank you very much, Speaker, and I appreciate the question from the member. As he's well aware, we are still undertaking the electricity review with a commitment to bring in legislation during the fall session. We are closely looking at what the Court of Appeal had to say in this decision and are hoping to be able to correct that situation as part of the new act that will be coming this fall.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thank the minister for that response. And I do recognize that the Liberal government's plan to open up the renewable energy market is still a work in progress. But my question is, under the proposed structure that the government is working on, would Nova Scotia Power's parent company, Emera, be able to operate wind projects throughout the province?
The Honourable Minister of Energy.
Again, Speaker, as I indicated, we are still reviewing the decision from the Court of Appeal, and that's all part of the review that will be taking place as well with the electricity review that's underway. As we're putting together the legislative package for the fall, those are the exact types of questions we want to address. But, Speaker, we are pleased with the Court of Appeal decision because what we said in opposition, what we said in government, is that we don't want to see any decisions being made by Nova Scotia Power that is going to affect its rate, that's going to be passed on to Nova Scotia consumers. We certainly support the decision, and as indicated, there will be legislative changes that will be a part of the package coming this fall.
The Honourable Member for Pictou Centre.
Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister responsible for Gaelic Affairs. Mr. Speaker, the Liberal government has eliminated the positions of two of the five people working at Gaelic Affairs. This decision is short-sighted and comes at a time when Cape Breton is in the midst of a modest Gaelic renaissance. Two of the 10 FTEs for the entire department were eliminated at this small office. It seems that Gaelic Affairs received cuts that were disproportionately large compared to other areas of the minister's department. My question to the minister, what did the minister do to fight for an office so important to many of his constituents?
The Honourable Minister responsible for the Office of Gaelic Affairs.
Actually, I apologize, Mr. Speaker. Someone coughed. I actually missed the clause of your actual question. Can I ask him to just repeat that?
Can the Honourable Member for Pictou Centre repeat the question? Just the question.
Really? thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the question is, what did the minister do to fight for an office so important to many of his constituents?
The Honourable Minister responsible for the Office of Gaelic Affairs.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, the member opposite, for both the question and repeating the question on my behalf. Listen, Mr. Speaker, I'd just like to clarify that the role of the employees in the department, the Office of Gaelic Affairs, is a very important role, Mr. Speaker. The question and of making decisions that affect individuals, individual employees, such as the decisions referenced in the question, Mr. Speaker, don't come easy. There are people at the end of those decisions, Mr. Speaker, people that we do recognize these significant impacts on, Mr. Speaker. But the reality is, when reviewing making these decisions, Mr. Speaker, those decisions were really primarily administrative functions, Mr. Speaker. We found other ways to provide administrative support for the department. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Pictou Centre.
Mr. Speaker, many people are looking at the fruits of their labour after many, many years trying to improve the Gaelic language in our province. 300 children in Antigonish are learning the language. Pictou County will also feel a negative impact of these cuts. A question to the Minister. The Gaelic culture plays an important role in many tourism-related events and companies in Pictou County. Did the Minister calculate what these cuts would mean to small businesses and volunteer organizations?
The Honourable Minister responsible for the Office of Gaelic Affairs.
Mr. Speaker, as I'd previously mentioned, when we were making our decisions, as we were reviewing the role and of the department, the focus of the department is on providing program service deliveries, Mr. Speaker. The positions that were affected were administrative, office administration. Mr. Speaker, we focused on maintaining those positions that are out there in the communities, working with community members, promoting and delivering programming that supports the Gaelic culture, Mr. Speaker. Those individuals will continue to provide that service and continue to grow Gaelic awareness and support in the province of Nova Scotia. Tepadev.
The Honourable Member for Truro, Babahill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This government keeps saying that when it comes to business sectors, they don't pick winners and losers. The Minister of Labour and Advanced Education also claims that she's working to keep young Nova Scotians in the province after they graduate from post-secondary programs. However, the dramatic cuts to the film tax credit will definitely threaten the ability for young, creative and motivated students to remain and contribute to our economy. And a number of these young people actually take programs in Truro and also in Halifax. So my question for the Minister, can she please detail the effect that these cuts, proposed cuts to the film tax credit will have on graduate retention in Nova Scotia?
The Honourable Minister of Labour and Advanced Education.
I'd like to thank the Honourable Member for the question and point out to her that we have a number of great programs here in the province that help young people get jobs upon graduation. And I would note that one of the criticisms that we did hear about the former government was that they weren't doing enough for students to help them stay here in the province and help them actually get the real jobs that are out there. So, for example, we have the START program, Mr. Speaker, which helps people, not necessarily young people, but young people who do not have job experience actually get job experience. We also have the Graduate to Opportunities program, which my colleague, the former minister for ERDT, launched in February, Mr. Speaker. And we also have a number of... And, Mr. Speaker, I would like to assure the Honourable Member we have a number of other programs which I'll be happy to detail to her in the next answer.
The Honourable Member for Truro, Baba Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Premier has suddenly begun calling the film tax credit a grant, which he says that our province can't afford, that it's too rich for our province. Well, I stand here today in my place to say that this province can't not afford the creative industry, as it is one of our best hopes for a bright future to retain and attract young people to this province, which we know we all desperately need. So my question for the Minister of Labour and Advanced Education, would she please detail her recommendations for the countless young people in this province now reconsidering their attendance to creative post-secondary programs in Nova Scotia?
The Honourable Minister of Labour and Advanced Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have a number of industries in this province that have in fact seen 100% increase over the last number of years that for young people. And so that would be things like Oceans Technology, healthcare, ICT, the financial industry, trades, etc. So, Mr. Speaker, those are all career options for young people, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I would also urge those students to just hang on for a sec. The Minister of Labour and the Minister of Finance is, in fact, negotiating with film and creative industries, and it is my hope that we're going to come up with a solution that will be suitable for everyone, and they will be able to stay here, Mr. Speaker, and work.
All right.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I'll sit down now.
The Honourable Member for Colchester, Musquodoboit Valley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Minister of Agriculture. There have been many changes in the ownership and administration of the Truro Exhibition Park. Some of the regular events have been cancelled that do bring revenue to the town. But what concerns me is the status of the 4-H in the Stewiacke and Musquodoboit Valleys with respect to the facility. My understanding is that the 4-H program can no longer afford the facility. So will the minister shed some light on this unfortunate turn of events for the 4-H program at the Truro Exhibition Park?
The Honourable Minister of Agriculture.
I thank the Honourable Member for the question. 4-H is a very important part of our rural economy and a great organization. As far as I know, that the negotiations are going on with the facility in Truro around 4-H for this upcoming year. And there's some different views on that, but as far as we know from the facility, it's still ongoing, and we look to resolve that shortly.
The Honourable Member for Colchester, Musquodoboit Valley.
I thank you for that answer, Minister. The 4-H program is a vital program for the youth in rural Nova Scotia, and we should be encouraging them as much as possible in their program. Is there a plan for the park that we are unaware of?
The Honourable Minister of Agriculture.
Mr. Speaker, if I could get him to repeat the question.
Can the Honourable Member for Colchester, Musquodoboit Valley, reiterate the question?
Is there a plan for the exhibition park that we are not aware of?
The Honourable Minister of Agriculture.
There is ongoing changes happening at the park towards making it profitable in the future instead of having to have government handouts, as has been the case for many, many years. However, a very important part of that is 4-H. We want 4-H to stay there and work with them very closely, and we will be definitely working with 4-H to ensure that does happen.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question today is for the Minister of Community Services. The Minister's implementation of the new roadmap resulted in the cancellation of Phase 3 of the Riverview renovations. We heard in estimates this week that it cost at least $1 million of taxpayer money to cancel this project at this stage. So my question for the Minister is, can the Minister provide a more complete and full estimate of the cost of the cancellation of Phase 3 this time? Thank you.
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And somehow I think this is penance for my inability to take the member across the hall out to dinner for this question, which is, I think, maybe the fifth time it's been asked. The actual cost to end Riverview, and we've already made a $22 million investment, or a $26 million investment. The original budget was $22 million. There have been some mitigations that we've had to do around environmental areas. It will cost about $1 million to shore up the end of Phase 3. I have said many times on the floor of this legislature that we are committed to the roadmap, and under my watch there will not be one more new institutionalized bed added to the inventory in the province of Nova Scotia.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I understood from the estimates process that there was roughly $1 million allocated to the demolition of walls that had recently been built as part of Phase 2. And I can't think of a greater example of government waste than to pay for walls to be built and turn around and pay for walls, those same walls, to be demolished. So my question is, if the minister didn't see value in the half-finished building, did the minister consider completing the building and finding an alternative use for it, maybe long-term care beds or something?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
Thank you. The service provider we've been working very diligently with. We're in talks right now with the contractor, who in turn is in talk with his subcontractors. Cancelling Phase 3 was merely putting up a wall. I think what the member has to realize that in 5 years' time, if we had finished Phase 3, those beds would be empty, because people in his community as well as other communities actually want to live in the community, have it person-directed and community-based. So that would be a tremendous waste of taxpayers' money. But even greater would be the cost to families for the personal cost of having them in institutionalized care when they should be in community-based options.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. My question through you is to the Minister of Finance. Mr. Speaker, Nova Scotia Community Counts was a small government service, an important resource for people doing research and making decisions affecting thousands of Nova Scotians. Less than a year ago, the Director of Economics and Statistics in the Department of Finance told the Economic Development Committee of this House that the Community Counts program provides detailed information, I quote, widely used for community government and business planning throughout the province. Mr. Speaker, unfortunately, this program was eliminated by the McNeill government in their recent budget. So I want to ask the minister, why doesn't the minister agree with the Director of Economics and Statistics about the value of the Community Counts program?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I had a question about this a few days ago as well. Community Counts is the only non-core activity, really, in the Department of Finance. It's taking Statistics Canada information that's widely available, and it did change its format to some degree. But, Mr. Speaker, the context of this budget was that if it wasn't core to your activities, if it didn't help to move us towards the path of sustainability, that we had to look for savings in every department. And, Mr. Speaker, I say again, all of the information is Stats Canada information. It's available.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the Minister previously has said that the Community Counts program isn't well used, and perhaps she could have done something to promote it rather than make sure nobody would ever get to use it, Mr. Speaker. 1 year ago today, Halifax Mayor Mike Savage tabled a report of the Task Force on Violence and Public Safety that cites Community Counts a number of times. The data that was available was really important for that report. My question for the minister is this: why did she eliminate such a valuable source of data for people, for municipal government, for business, trying to provide programs and services to Nova Scotia.
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And I think other members have said as well that every cut that we made was a difficult cut. Every department had to play its role and find some savings. It doesn't mean that the people that worked there weren't doing a good job or that somebody didn't value what was done. But the fact is that Stats Canada provides that information. It is still available to researchers or people who want to find out more about their communities. It's just not going to be provided by the Department of Finance.
The Honourable Member for Kings North.
My question, Mr. Speaker, is for the Minister of Agriculture. Last spring, during budget estimates, the Minister of Agriculture said that the forensic audit at the provincial exhibition would be completed by June, and I will table that. We've not heard anything of that audit. My question for the Minister is, will the Minister table the audit so members of this House can be made aware of the financial state of the provincial exhibition and the path forward to make it sustainable?
The Honourable Minister of Agriculture.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, indeed, that audit is finally being completed because part of the audit was to do an initial audit of the facility and then follow up with the management of the exhibition. And that follow-up is just about complete. With that audit will be tabled shortly.
The Honourable Member for Kings North.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That's a long time to wait for an audit, Mr. Speaker. That was June of last year. Mr. Speaker, the Minister also said that the new Provincial Exhibition Board would provide him with quarterly updates on what they were doing as they moved forward. He also said that those updates would be made public, and I'll table those comments right now. My question for the Minister is this. How many updates has the Minister received, and will he table them in this House?
The Honourable Minister of Agriculture.
Thank you very much. That is a very important question. More accountability for the exhibition that is underway, and we are in the process of receiving regular updates from the facility.
The Honourable Member for Sydney River Myra Lewisburg.
Well, now, Mr. Speaker, the last time I tried to ask this question, I ran into the same problem. By the time I get the question out, we'll get no answer. But then again, when we get the questions out, we get no answers anyway. So it doesn't make much difference. I can try to fill in the time. Because this is such a good question.
Order, please. Time allotted for oral questions put by members to ministers has expired. We'll now move on to government business. The Honourable Government House Leader.
I know he had a really good question there, too. But, Mr. Speaker, I move that you do now leave the chair and that the House resolve itself into a committee of the whole on supply.
The Honourable Member for Kings North.
My privilege, Mr. Speaker, to now speak into what I understand is the term supply to make a comment on the budget, and I would like to do so. I'm afraid that I am not able to provide the members of the House with a new topic. I wish to talk also about the film tax credit, and I'm sure that this has been a common theme. I would like to talk maybe in a little bit different sense about the film tax credit in that I would like to make some comment on the sort of structure of the industry.